of His grace. I think it's more than what we realize sometimes, how God is so generous and we are so stingy in receiving. And it's because the unbelief pushes us, and we judge ourselves like maybe the law judges us, but God is not that kind of God. He's a loving, compassionate Father who's forgotten your sins. So can we just bow our heads? I say, Lord Jesus, tonight.
Lord Jesus, tonight.
We're going to do it your way.
We're going to do it your way.
Not ours.
Not ours.
So any area of self-condemnation.
Of self-condemnation.
That hinders me. From receiving your grace.
And your mercies.
And your healing.
I put beneath my feet now.
Those lies are no more. The blood of the Lamb.
Has washed me clean.
And I am clean.
In Jesus' name.
You know, Ephesians 1, 9. It's not Ephesians 1, 9. It's 1 John 1, 9. Declares that when you ask the Father to forgive you, that He is faithful to forgive you. Verse 7 also says that the blood consistently cleanses us. And even though you know it, that doesn't mean that you believe it or that you receive it. And so I would press you to make sure that you activate those words into your own heart so that the deception doesn't come back in. Because when deception is actually ruling your heart, you're going to find a major problem in receiving anything from God. I want to take you with me where God took me this morning around 4 a.m.
Before you go there, remember.
Oh, okay. Can we hold it?
Sure.
And make a note of it so we don't lose it? Okay. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 15. And to make a long, long story short, I'm trying to give you what He tried to show me at this particular time this morning. And He said very clearly, verse 19, out of the heart comes evil thoughts. And I want to add, evil thoughts against yourself. See, if you want to hinder a child, what happens is, if he or she believes that she is no good, she's going to act up, she's going to react, and nothing you say to her will be acceptable, or to him. So evil thoughts are coming from where? The heart. Thoughts of murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, etc. And the Lord, this is the red letter edition, so obviously it says, these are what makes a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Now, see, the traditions of men are still operating in us. And that's what He was trying to teach them. He's trying to wake them up. And I said to the Lord, how much of that is still in me? He says, you haven't got a clue. Now, that's not a pretty word to hear. But it's true. I don't. How many know? The only person that really knows the real me is the Lord. I can't know myself. I know myself with the little tiny skinny brain that I have of the number of years that I have memories of. But what about the balance? What about the other extenuating circumstances where traumatic things happened? And I'd like to share with you something that happened to me not too long ago. I can't tell you exactly how many years, but it's maybe 6 or 7 or whatever. And we happened to be cleaning stuff, and a lot of these pictures that were taken when I was a child were in my mother's stuff, and she moved into our house 7 years ago, so it's within those 7 years. And I happened to run across a picture of myself standing on the front porch where we lived on the farm, and I was there till I was 8. And I looked at that picture, and I know it's me, but I'm aware of the death that is in my eyes, that I am a dead child. Does that make any sense? Mm-hmm. I could see it. And I'm thinking, oh my God, even then? You know, like, I see children and I see them bubbly and happy, and there was not any of that in me on that picture. Now, I mean, I'm not saying that I didn't have high moments. That would be a lie. Because there were other pictures where, you know. But that picture showed me something I didn't want to see. It was a memory that I didn't want to bring back. Now, both my parents had a crash financially. And that whole piece of land had to be sold. Our stuff was sold at auction. And that's not something that's public knowledge. This happened many years ago. Now, most of you know Claude. Claude, about 2 years ago, calls me in the morning, and he's coming out of a dream, and it was a vision combination dream. And he sees this field, and he sees all these things that are on the ground. Well, the auction happened to take place in late summer, and that's exactly what happened. All the items that were placed for sale, including my dog's harness and my sled and all these toys that I had that could no longer be a part of our home or our house or our future, was all on the lawn. And everybody went and picked what they wanted and they bid for it, and obviously, oh, it went. He saw this entire thing, and that was totally blanked out of my mind. I had no memory of it. But it was registered inside. Do you understand? And so when he made this comment to me, he says, Kim, I know you were there. I saw you. I said, good heavens. I began to pray in the spirit, and I said, Claude, I hardly remember that. And as I said those words, I had these flashbacks, you know, of the tears running out of my eyes, walking away from that piece of property with whoever I was with, because I don't remember. It must have been my parents. And the total depression that was in my heart. You know, as a child, you're devastated when your world falls apart. And the Lord said to me, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's what the scripture says. Out of your heart, your mouth will speak. Well, what do you think came out of my mouth? Regularly. Then I was taken to a foreign country, and I spent most of the next year in a closet because I couldn't understand the language. Now, you know, it was just the way it was. And so, did it get better? Absolutely not. As an 8 and a 9 year old, I spent my time in a little tiny closet like the entrance foyer over there where we have the stuff. And there was a few toys in there, and in order to quiet me down, I guess, they just punished me, and that was the solution of the day. So, you know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, what do you think happens after that? You have a broken child. I can understand it today, much better than I understood it then. But when you're living in it, you don't think about it being a bad thing. You think everybody else goes through these things, okay? Except for the language barrier. But it did take me a year to learn the language. Then, of course, I began to defend myself, and I got into more trouble. We're not going to go there. But the bottom line is, you know, out of the heart. Well, where did your heart start? Where did the pain begin? Where did the difficulties in your life begin? They began in your childhood. How could you deal with them? Because you usually have no memory. Because the mind is so wonderful a tool, it blanks it out. It just doesn't come. It just sits there. And when you can handle it, he brings it back. Was I a depressed child? Absolutely. Did I know it? No. Did I believe everybody else was depressed? I think so, part-time anyway. You know, and there was sickness and illnesses of all kinds, and, I mean, no wonder. I mean, you know, those are the things that were a part of my past, and what God is trying to tell us today is out of the fullness of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. So, I'd like to back it up so that you can see a little bit of what Jesus is trying to say, okay? Now, verse 1. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem to ask, why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? So they're legalistic. This is what they've been taught, and this is what they do. They don't wash their hands before they eat. And Jesus replied, and why do you break the commands of God? For the sake of your traditions. For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Now that was an incredible word. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Now, how was I brought up? Rules taught by men. And women, obviously. I mean, I don't mean, teachers, et cetera, et cetera. So, you see, I was a product of the same stuff. And I believe most of you here were the same. Can anybody relate? Am I the only one? Okay, if you relate, put your hand up. Then you know that you're all a byproduct of all these things that happen to you. And when God says, okay, it's time to clean house, it's time to forgive yourself, that's the beginning, that's the opening of the door so that the Holy Spirit can bring living water and begin the cleansing process of your inner man and clean you up. And he does a great job. Amen? Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. But what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended? I love this part. Because sometimes when you speak a truth to someone, especially someone that's in the law, and you give them a word of freedom, they cannot digest it. They cannot receive it. They're offended. After all, this is the way we've always done it. Okay? So, again, the same pattern is still available today. So again, verse 12, the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? And he replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Now that's an incredible statement. Every plant, that means every tree, every person. Okay? Leave them, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into the pit. Peter said, explain the parable to us. And verse 16 is intense. Are you still so dull? In other words, Peter didn't catch on. Peter didn't get a clue. Why? Because Peter didn't know what was in him. Any more than I'm telling you, I didn't know what was in me. And I still don't know the fullness thereof. Close your eyes for a moment. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, the only way that I'm going to get free,
Lord Jesus,
the only way that I'm going to get
free is when you clean me up.
And I'm giving you permission tonight.
Clean out my heart.
Whatever is not of you.
Whatever
memories I have.
That
I made vows.
That
I declared.
That
I was no good.
That I was a hopeless case.
Anything like that that I said. I lay it down before you.
I lay it down before you.
And I say, clean the house, Lord.
And I say, clean the house,
clean my heart, Lord.
Clean my heart.
Wash me clean.
Wash me clean.
Don't stop till I'm well done.
Don't stop till I'm well done.
And fully cleansed.
And fully cleansed.
For your glory.
For your glory.
Because I don't know what's in me.
Because I don't know what's in me.
And I don't know how dull I am. Deep breath, way down deep. Father, let the anointing break the yoke now. Because permission is granted to go deeper. One more time, way down deep. Father, take them as deep as necessary so that everything that needs to be pulled out will be pulled out. And only the pure and the sweet and the holy will remain. Verse 16 again. Are you still so dull? Jesus asked them. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean. So when the scripture says, Matthew 18:18, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That includes what you say about yourself. So the first person that you need to really be accountable to before God is you. And the quicker that you begin to let God do the house cleaning that's needed, by golly, you know, he's going to do a marvelous work. Now, he did the work already from the cross, but most of us have not accepted it yet, or the fullness of its fruit. We've accepted what we're comfortable with, or we've accepted what we know about ourselves. And that's why God needs a prophetic church, because you see, that prophetic message that I got from Vermont was the dream that needed to come out so that I could see what I went through when I was 8. And then give it back to the Lord so that he could do the house cleaning. Now, it was not a works program. It was a permission. When you give God permission to go in, he'll go in. How many have seen the picture of him at the door? Okay? Who's got the doorknob? You do. All right? And he's knocking. Well, he's knocking at your heart, saying, would you let me in? You know, years and years ago, the Lord showed me, he gave me a message to teach to a group of people. And he showed me an attic, and he showed me a cellar, and then the main floor and the front door. And he said most people, when they ask Jesus to come in, they ask him to come in, and he sits down in the front foyer, and that's as far as he's allowed to go. Then he might be allowed to go into the living room. But don't go in the bathroom, because there's dirt there. And when we flush that thing, we don't want him in there. Go upstairs, it's full of cobwebs and old memories. We don't want anybody there. Down cellar, where it's musty and odorous and bad stuff and unclean things, we don't want anybody in there. No, don't go down there after all. Why should you go down there? And we sit with him in his love seat in the front room, and we make nice, and we get very religious, and we get high and lovey-dovey for a few minutes, and we are satisfied for the next month, or week, or days. The Lord says, I'd like to be the manager of the, you know, healer of the whole house. From the base of your toes to the very top of your head. You know, he wants it all. But we are, I don't know if I could let him in there. He might not understand. He might not really understand my heart. But he does. So, verse 19, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man or a woman unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the regions of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. How many know at least one person who is demon-possessed? Put your hand up if you know at least one person. Are you ready to cry out like this woman? Because look at her commission from God. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." So they're sick of her. See, she's crying out to them. Why? Because they're the apostles. They're the leaders of the church that's just an incubation, if you wish. They have been given the power. And what are they saying? No way. No way. Ain't got time for that woman. She's from the other end of the country on the other side. And we don't have to bow to her because after all, we're not going to bother with that female. But watch her actions. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Is that the truth? Yes, it was. So even if it was truth, listen to the woman. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." I mean, talk about an insult. I mean, she is being called a dog. Okay? Does it bother her? No. She answers, "Yes, Lord." Would you be ready to respond? "Yes, Lord." You know why? Because she's got something up her sleeve. She said, "But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, I can tell you that I experienced that with my father and with my mother because of my hatred of what they had been doing to themselves because of the alcoholism and the drug addiction. And I was so full of venom that all I could see was what they did wrong. I wasn't willing to knock on the Lord's table or the Lord's door and say, "Have mercy on them." I was so angry that I wanted them out of my life forever. But God had a different plan in mind. Because my heart was filled with what? Murder. Okay, I didn't want them dead, but you understand. Out of my mind and out of my head.
Dead to you.
Dead to me, yes. Would you also say I was guilty of slander? Absolutely. Did I have honor and did I honor them? Absolutely not. There was no honor left. All there was I'm self-righteous and I'm great. And they're rotten. Because of what they're doing to themselves, they're making me and my children and my wife suffer. And I was holding them accountable, never seeing the demons that were having a field day with me first. And so God is looking to clean up yours and my heart so that our words will change. And our attitude will be like this woman. "Lord, that person's demon possessed. I want freedom for him. I want freedom for her." And keep knocking until you get it. And put your emotional crap aside and your traditions. Get them. Get rid of them. They're not God. Get the word in your heart. Now, I know I'm hitting home because you see, that's the truth that's going to set you free and keep you free. And in a matter of a few weeks, when my heart was changed, both my parents came to the Lord. 7 months later, my mother was totally delivered from the demons that had tormented her for 17 years. She's 93 next, 6 more weeks. Now, if anybody in their right mind would have told me that this woman would live to this day, I would have told you, you are out of your tree. I mean, when I say the extremes of where she came from, are unbelievable into the brain department, but God was really saying, Look, I can do it if you'll only do your homework. Will you carry those that are demon-possessed? Will you? If he lays that person on your heart and says you're the intercessor elected to bring them up, to give them freedom, good heavens, what a great honor it is to carry them in your heart. Okay? I can remember for weeks and months going to the communion table, holding different individuals in my heart and saying, God, this communion's not for me. It's for that one that's bound. Holy Spirit, give me the courage to keep knocking until I can see some changes in their hearts and keep knocking until they're free. Not to feel sorry for myself because they're bound. Or feel sorry for them. Because that's not going to work. It's not going to solve a thing. Amen? So when you're interceding for them, what's going to happen to you? James 5. What happens to you? Yes, you're going to get healed. God will make sure that someone has a vision or a word or a dream or something that you maybe not have any clue about that he's going to work on you and get you free. Because you've had the compassion to carry the one that's hurting. And that's what happened to this woman. She didn't care about the rules. She didn't care if she wasn't part of the community. She wasn't a Jew. She was an unacceptable dog. And still she got her miracle. That should wake us up. Close your eyes.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can put this truth into their hearts. And I don't know who you're going to lay on their hearts. That's up to you. But I'm asking even those who are listening to this message to be aware. Don't hold on to the murder that's in your heart. Don't hold on to those thoughts of adultery and sexual immorality and theft and false testimony and slander. Don't hold on to any of that. Give it up. Give it to Jesus right away. And God will give you a heart of compassion to intercede for those who are stuck in bondage greater than yours. And as you and I do our part, the Holy Spirit will heal the house and heal the families. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Young lady.